Can you say why America is the greatest country in the world?
Diversity and opportunity.
Lewis? Freedom and freedom. So let's keep it that way.
Well, why is America
not the greatest country in the world? Professor, that's my answer.
You're saying
yes.
Let's talk about...
Fine.
Sharon, the NEA is a loser. Yeah, it accounts for a penny out of our paycheck, but he gets to hit you with it any time he wants. It doesn't cost money. It costs votes. It costs airtime and column inches. You know why people don't like liberals? Because they lose. If liberals are so fucking smart, how come they lose so damn always?
Hey,
and with a straight face, you're going to tell students that America is so star-spangled awesome that we're the only ones in the world who have freedom? Canada has freedom. Japan has freedom. The UK, France, Italy, Germany, Spain, Australia, Belgium has freedom. So 207 sovereign states in the world, like 180 of them have freedom.
All right.
And yeah, you, sorority girl, just in case you accidentally wander into a voting booth one day, there's some things you should know. And one of them is there is absolutely no evidence to support the statement that we're the greatest country in the world. We're 7th in literacy, 27th in math, 22nd in science, 49th in life expectancy, 178th in infant mortality, 3rd in median household income, number 4 in labor force, and number 4 in exports. We lead the world in only 3 categories. Number of incarcerated citizens per capita, number of adults who believe angels are real, and defense spending, where we spend more than the next 26 countries combined, 25 of whom are allies. Now, none of this is the fault of a 20-year-old college student, but you nonetheless are, without a doubt, a member of the worst period, generation, period, ever, period. So when you ask what makes us the greatest country in the world, I don't know what the f*** you're talking about. Yosemite? Sure used to be. We stood up for what was right. We fought for moral reasons. We passed laws, struck down laws for moral reasons. We waged wars on poverty, not poor people. We sacrificed. We cared about our neighbors. We put our money where our mouths were, and we never beat our chest. We built great big things, made ungodly technological advances, explored the universe, cured diseases, and we cultivated the world's greatest artists and the world's greatest economy. We reached for the stars, acted like men. We aspired to intelligence. We didn't belittle it. It didn't make us feel inferior. We didn't identify ourselves by who we voted for in the last election, and we didn't scare so easy. We were able to be all these things and do all these things because we were informed by great men, men who were revered. First step in solving any problem is recognizing there is one. America is not the greatest country in the world anymore.
In the rearview mirror, That's what I like to see, bullseyes, every time. And you can do the same thing with Beyer Barrels. As long as you do your part, the custom barrels that you get from Beyer Barrels will deliver award-winning accuracy shot after shot. Beyer Barrel specializes in standard and 1-in-9-inch twist match-grade 22 long rifle barrels for the Ruger 10-22 and AR-15. If you want to win, visit their site at BeyerBarrels.com. That's B-E-Y-E-R Barrels.com. Or you can call Clint at 360-374-9476 and tell him you heard it on the Shooting Fence, would you? Let him know that his advertising money is doing him some good.
The truth.
But you can find it right here on the Shooting Bench. Coming up next.
Son, we live in a world that has walls, and those walls have to be guarded by men with guns. Who's gonna do it? You? I have a greater responsibility than you can possibly fathom. You have that luxury. You have the luxury of not knowing what I know. And my existence, while grotesque and incomprehensible to you, saves lives. You don't want the truth because deep down in places you don't talk about at parties, you want me on that ball.
You need the Shooting Bench.
We use words like honor, code, loyalty. We use these words as the backbone of a life spent defending something. You use them as a punchline.
And I am sick of the lies and the deceit and the intrusions on my privacy and the invasion of my home. And we do not intend to take this lying down.
I have neither the time nor the inclination to explain myself to a man who rises and sleeps under the blanket of the very freedom that I provide and then questions the manner in which I provide it. I would rather you just said thank you and went on your way.
And now, if you think you're ready, the Shooting Bench. And here we are. Hopefully I got everything working right. I was a little bit late coming in, so I had an extra long intro there so I could get everything squared away. I was trying to, got too many things going on tonight. And let me get over here to the chat room first off and see if we got anybody listening, or actually see if I have any sound there for anybody to listen to. Somebody will be coming up here in a minute. At least they will if they're getting any sound. If they're not, then I enjoy talking to myself. Thank you, Yakima Glock. There's Nan in there. Okay, I guess everybody's... All right, thank you. Okay. Dang, there's a lot of stuff going on. A lot of things to talk about. Let me see if I can figure out any rhyme or reason to all the stuff here. No particular order. By the way... Yeah. I was talking about snow the other day. Yeah, was it this morning or yesterday? Yesterday morning. Yeah, some of you, those of you that follow me on Facebook, we had about, I don't know, probably an inch and a half yesterday. As soon as we got up, it started snowing. And it snowed quite a bit, considering it was, you know, 1st of October. But, of course, it's all gone now, except in the shady areas. There's still a little bit there. And right now it's a balmy probably 37 or something like that. It was 39 a while ago when the sun was just about down. So, sound like Andy may be going to the thermometer. Are you going to the thermometer? Oh, never mind. I thought you was going into the thermometer to see how cold it was. Okay. Well, that's life in the high desert or the mountains of Arizona. We're right on the borderline here between what they would call high desert and mountains. We're probably a little more in the mountain area than the high desert, but we're not very far from either. So let's see here. Let me see if I can get to... I have got so many stories backed up here. Man, there is so much stuff going on right now. So let's just start with... You heard there was actually the number has gone up. When the story first came out, there was one dead and four law enforcement officers killed. That was, or one dead and four shot. And I think that went up a little bit. I'm not sure, but that's going to fall in line with some of the other things that we have to talk about tonight. And one of them is, that there was an FBI agent that was shot by a booby-trapped wheelchair in southern Oregon. Some of you folks up in Washington may have heard about this before. Did I? Okay, well, never mind. Amy says I talked about it already, so I've got so many stories backed up here, I can't keep up with all of them. So we'll let that one go. Let's see. There was another guy that, this was in Canada, and there was some protesters out there. These are pro-life people that were protesting. And this scroungy hippie-looking dude come up here, got rings in his lips and his ears and everything else. He took offense to their protesting and didn't get what he wanted, and he wound up kicking this this girl, hit her in the shoulder. It was they called it a roundhouse kick, and didn't see it, so I don't know exactly how it was delivered, but said he delivered this with lightning speed, blinding speed. And he says, well, I didn't mean to kick her. I was trying to kick her phone because she was recording everything that he was doing. He was doing typical liberal stuff. Well, he ran away and almost got away with it, I guess, or thought he was going to. And with the help of the video and everything, wasn't long before they figured out who he was, and he was named, and he got fired from his job, and that's all very good. I'm glad to hear that it's come around for him, man. So I'm just going to kind of keep moving here. Of course, the big news right now, naturally, is that Kavanaugh was confirmed. But with that, we had a little bit of problem. You know, they said, you really want a man consumed with rage, self-pity, and hate and all that. Okay, we can get by that. We realize, who wouldn't be upset? Who wouldn't be frustrated and angry? Self-pity and hate, I didn't see that. But with all the false stories and everything and all the stupid stuff coming out against him, I can't blame him one bit for... I can't blame him for actually sitting up there and crying. You know, there's a lot of guys out there that put him down for that, but I don't blame him a damn bit. I'm sure I would have been right along with him if I was going through what he was going through, and his family and everything else. So, and there's some more things going along with that we're going to add, and I'm going to find one of them. Had several. Like I said, I was late getting on there. I didn't get everything up here where it was supposed to be. So let's see. Where is that? We got that. I got that. That's a good one, but that's not the one I'm looking for. Anyway, the name doesn't matter. I'll find it here in a minute. The name doesn't matter, but there was a legislator that voted yes to confirm Kavanaugh, and he's receiving, and it's not just him, there's more than one of them. He's receiving death threats. His wife, they got a letter that showed a very graphic picture of the beheading of his wife and all this stuff. Now, I don't know if they're going to catch these guys, or if they're just going to let it go like they do liberals every time they do this stuff. They seem to be above the law or invisible or something. But there's just a lot of implications here. If there's a lot of these people out there, as I said before, not too awful long ago, we were talking about, you know, what was going to kick off the poop hit the fan type deal here. And there was a little talk about civil war, more talk about revolution, more talk about conflicts between illegal aliens, UN, cartels, you know, other countries, and against the government, quite frankly. Nobody ever once mentioned that it's going to be Republicans against the Democrats, or conservatives against the liberals. That was never part of the deal. But that became obvious here a couple of years ago, and that changed everything. So since there is a respectable amount of those varmints, is there enough of them that, just a second, Mountain Shooter, I'll answer your question there. I think there's enough of them that are willing to, and they keep getting away with it. See, we don't lower ourselves, or most of us don't. There's a few. We don't lower ourselves to their standards and do the kind of stuff that they do. But, you know, I want to say, is it time to ask the question, should we? We're about to be left with few options. There's enough of them doing this that they may start persuading or dissuading or influencing the vote of some of these people when something like this comes up. You know, there's going to be, as soon as Ginsburg tips over, then there'll be another one, another conservative justice put in there. And we're going to go through it again, only it's going to be worse. It's going to be a lot worse next time, a lot worse. And are the liberals going to be so organized and so determined that they're going to influence some of the vote? I don't doubt that some of them were influenced this time. I don't doubt that there was a few that said, you know what, those guys are coming right out to saying that there's going to be violence, and I fear for my family's well-being and whatnot. It's just not worth it to me. So, you know, I'm going to vote no, and I'll just have to put up with the verbal abuse that I know I'm going to get, but maybe I can curtail the physical abuse that seems likely now. Well, next time, it's going to be worse. And I'm just, as
I posted a thing on Facebook earlier about something that one of the presidents of our church said some years ago about how people are so influenced by, how they dress, the music they listen to, the people, the language. It's become commonplace. It's so common anymore that nobody thinks anything about it. And I thought about this several times last night when we were watching a movie. I said, good grief. They can't do three consecutive words without dropping an F-bomb here in certain areas of the movie. I said, it's a good show, but damn. It's become so accepted. You know, even a PG-13, from what I understand, is allowed one F-bomb somewhere in the movie, and everybody make damn sure that they slip it in there somewhere just because they can. And they, well, it's only one. I talked to a guy when I was living in Farmington, a guy that used to do a lot of radio work, and not radio, yeah, radio stuff, or not Tebow, but another guy. You know who it is, Tebow. And his son was the same age as mine, and we were talking about that movie, I think it was Sniper. No, Shooter. And I said something about, I wouldn't let the kids watch it, and he said he let his son watch it. And I said, well, you know, I don't let my kids watch stuff like that with that kind of language on it. So, well, you just teach them what's right or wrong, he said. And they can watch that, as long as they know that that's not right. And I thought, you know what? You can tell them that's not right all you want to, but that's what they're learning, and you're letting them learn it. you know, you need to wait until those values are so firmly instilled later. I still don't like to sit and watch movies like that with my kids. Yeah, and that's the point. If you know it's not right, why do you let them watch it, and why is it in the house anyway? And we threw away, I don't know how many R-rated movies here. When was that, 2-3 years ago or something like that? 2-4 years ago, we threw away a whole bunch of R-rated movies. And probably ought to be a little more diligent. You know, we're letting ourselves slip on some of these, and we shouldn't. So, but, you know, foul language and stuff has gotten where, you know, everybody says it and everybody accepts it, and nobody thinks anything about it anymore. It's just part of the, and I was like that for a lot of years. You know, I still have my problems with language, but I am, you know, I don't do it on, don't do it on the radio, don't do it on Facebook. I told you guys I try not to do it where, you know, I do my best not to do it in mixed company, and especially not where there's kids. And I used to be real bad about it, you know, when I was back in my army and construction days and everything, but I'm not 5% of what I used to be. I've curtailed a whole bunch of it and gotten rid of it. So that's what this deal that I posted was talking about. And one of my friends that lives here in Arizona, not too far from here, he's probably, I don't know, 120 miles, something like that from here. And he says that he talked about him being a baby boomer and the time he spent in the Air Force and all that. And he was a recruiter for about 20 years, I guess. And he noticed during this period of time, from the age that these people were when he first started until, you know, and 20 years later, he said the music and the irreverence were noticeable. And he noticed at the time that the kids were going into school, by the time they were getting out, you know, leaving high school, how much this stuff had changed. And I responded with the same thing that I've told you guys, you know, several times. I said, I've been saying this on my show for the last few years. Every year that goes by, our chances of success diminish. The World War I vets are all gone. What few World War II vets that are left are physically unable to be of any use to us. You know, we might be able to use them for training and advice, but then they're also a liability because we have to protect them and move if it gets to a point where we have to move and stuff like that. Won't be too long before the Vietnam vets will be right behind them. And not too long after Vietnam was where the fighting man began a noticeable change. And it wasn't the fault of those people necessarily, but as the military changed, everything becomes mechanized and automated and so much long range stuff and drones and electronic crap, where the people that we have in there now are a product of what the military has become through technology. And, you know, it's not going to be a few more years, another generation, and there'll be no possibility of us turning this thing around. The best we can hope for is just to survive what's happening. Hopefully we can. So, there's yeah, he just responded there to, and I can check that later. But anyway, that's where we're at. Let's see. I'm going to have to mix some of these up just a little bit. But in Pennsylvania,
There's a new gun control bill coming in there. The governor has promised he will immediately sign this. And we've had a problem with this governor before. Tom Wolf is the governor of Pennsylvania. And he's not been the greatest for our side, for the gun owners. And he's just driving the final nail there. Now, if this passes and makes it to his desk, which it most likely will, this was approved by the House. Well, yeah, of course it will, easily. It's approved by the House 131-62, and last week by the Senate, or on Wednesday, by 43-5. So they're pumping up some existing, what they call surrender gun policy of convicted abusers, and he's vowed to sign it the moment it's laid on his desk. And this kind of stuff is going on. Of course, there's some good stuff. There's, you know, here and there we have something good. Remember last week we talked about the Trump administration had done away with some federal law enforcement capabilities in some wildlife management areas or something there. And a federal judge now just restored the gun rights of a non-violent offender in also in Pennsylvania. And this may have something to do with what the governor's planning over there. But this guy was convicted of a misdemeanor driving while under the influence. And the judge decided, you know, under Pennsylvania law, he is to lose his Second Amendment rights forever. And this judge said, you know, that's not right. It was a nonviolent offense. And, of course, the guy had to have spent some money, had a lawyer and everything to start the ball rolling here. But at any rate, the, let's see. The judge said defendant's evidence fails to account for key characteristics of Holloway and similarly situated persons. They have presented no evidence indicating that individuals like Holloway, after over a decade of virtuous non-criminal behavior, remain so potentially irresponsible that they should be prohibited from owning a firearm. The government has not demonstrated a substantial fit between Holloway's continued disarmament and the important government interest of preventing armed mayhem. So what they were doing was saying that this guy was had the potential of, you know, being involved in armed mayhem and start riots or whatever. And luckily there was a judge there that had some common sense, and he guys got his gun rights back, and that's awesome. There's also another federal bill here that could allow the government to shoot down drones. Now, here's a Fourth Amendment violation here. They're not, the conditions under which they can shoot these drones down is very foggy, very unclear. I can understand, and I support the ones, the drones that are flying in places like where they're fighting for forest fires. There was a time here in Arizona last year where the firefighting had to, the aerial assault of the fire had to come to a halt because of the drones, private drones in the area. Well, in that case, something like that, I say, you know, go ahead and send the helicopter up with guys with a 12 gauge on each side and shoot them down without question. I see no problem with that whatsoever. But the way this thing is worded is they're just allowing them to now, of course, they say that they have to have certain, meet certain requirements and stuff. But it's still pretty gray on how they're going to allow this. So we'll we'll see what happens, I guess, when they actually do it. But it doesn't look good right now. Anyway, I think I need to take a short break, and then I'll be back.
I'll be back.
Breaker 19, this here's a rubber duck. You got a copy on me, Big Ben? Come on. Yeah, 10-4, Big Ben, for sure, for sure. By golly, it's clean, clear to Flagtown. Come on. Yeah, it's a big 10-4 there, Big Ben. Yeah, we definitely got the front door, good buddy. Mercy sakes alive, looks like we got us a convoy.
Was the dark of the moon on the 6th of June in a Kenworth pulling logs. Cab over Pete with a reefer on and a Jimmy hauling hogs. We is heading for Bear on I-10 about a mile out of Shaky Town. I says, Pigpen, this here's a rubber duck and I'm about to put the hammer down.
You want to back off them hogs? 10-4, about 5 miles or so. 10, roger, them hogs is getting intense up here.
By the time we got into Tulsa Town, we had 85 trucks in all. But they's a roadblock up on the Cloverleaf, and them bears was wall to wall. Yeah, them smokies as thick as bugs on a bumper. They even had a bear in the air. I says, calling all trucks, says, here's the duck. We about to go a hunting bear.
Big Ben, you're still too close. Yeah, them hulk is starting to close up my sinuses. Mercy sakes, you better back off another 10.
Well, we rolled up Interstate 44 like a rocket sled on rails. We tore up all of our swindle sheets and left them setting on the scales. By the time we hit that shy town, them bears was getting smart. They'd brought up some reinforcements from the Illinois National Guard. There's armored cars, tanks, jeeps, and rigs of every size. Yeah, them chicken coops was full of bears, and choppers filled the skies. Well, we shot the line, we went for broke with 1,000 screaming trucks and 11 long-haired friends of Jesus in a chartreuse microbus.
Yeah, rubber duck to Sodbuster. Come on here, yeah. 10-4, Sodbuster. Listen, you want to put that microbus in behind that suicide jockey? Yeah, he's hauling dynamite, and he needs all the help he can get.
Well, we laid a strip for the Jersey Shore and prepared to cross the line. I could see the bridge was lined with bears, but it didn't have a doggone dime. I says, Pigpen, this here's a rubber duck. We just ain't going to pay no toll. So we crashed the gate doing 98. I says, let them truckers roll 10-4.
We got a mighty cowboy rocking through the night. Yeah, we got a mighty cowboy. Ain't you a beautiful sight? Come on and join our cowboy. Ain't nothing gonna get in our way. You're the coolest
fucking
cowboy.
10-4, Pigpen, what's your 20? Omaha. Well, they ought to know what to do with them hogs out there for sure. Well, mercy sakes, good buddy. We're going to back on out here, so keep the bugs off your glass and the bears off your tail. We'll catch you on the flip-flop. This here's a rubber duck on the side. We gone. Bye-bye.
Hey, pretty baby, are you ready for me? Yeah, it's your good rockin' daddy down from Tennessee. I'm just out off about San Antonio with the radio blasting and the bird dog on. Yeah, the beat traveled my head down my town, but no local yoga gonna shut me down. Me and my boys got the trigger wound, and we'll come 1,000 miles from a guitar jam.
If you're a country music fan, particularly classic country, join me, Cope Reynolds, every Friday night for Liberty Lounge right here on the Survival Circle Network.
Nothing ever happened around my hometown. I ain't kind of just hang around. But I heard someone calling me. name one day, and I followed that voice down a lost highway. Everybody told me you can't get far on $37 in a Jeep guitar. Now I'm smoking in a Texas with a hammer down and a rocking little combo from the guitar down.
Absolutely the fastest 2 hours on internet radio, Liberty Lounge. Every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Eastern, right here on Survival Circle. Welcome back to another segment of The Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
That ain't country.
That ain't country.
Yeah, we trust
you. There's that button. Okay, I'm back. I was looking at the chat room here. Yeah, Mountain Shooter would know about that. You have to ground the aircraft and then try and find the owner. I wouldn't do that. I would have a little, something like a OH-58 or something out there, and guy with a 3.5 inch 12 gauge and some heavy buckshot, and I would take that thing down without a second thought. You're risking the lives of the firefighters. You're costing the taxpayers money. A lot of money by having to ground those aircraft and the fire's moving all the time this is happening. That's stupid. It's ridiculous. I would not hesitate 1 second to shoot him down. As long as, of course, it was safe to shoot from where he's at. I mean, in a helicopter, you can move around there and make it safe. But, that is absurd to me. That they would allow that. They would ground those there. I realize why they ground them, but they have to go find the owner? No. They need to just say, okay, if your drone is caught in this area and it affects our ability to fight the fire, then you can pick it up in pieces wherever it lands, you know, if it survives the fire. But I would shoot it down in a heartbeat. So here's, this is an interesting story. Something happened. We've talked about it, I don't know how many times, 100 or more, you know, maybe more than that, but about cops raiding the wrong house because of bad information or, you know, no information, mixed up information or whatever. Well, there is a police chief that actually his name is Hank Stowinski, has apologized for an error and said he was halted executing search warrants until the department reviews how it corroborates information, excuse me, to confirm addresses and the location of investigative targets. He admits that the SWAT team was at fault in targeting the wrong address. So he is not putting out any warrants right now until that procedure is reviewed and they get that squared away. There was a guy actually had shot two police officers. And the police chief said the man was ambushed in his own home. He's with a law-abiding citizen. Beyond that, he called the warrant itself into question along with the information used to obtain it. So the guy shot two cops and... There's going to be no charges filed, and that is awesome. I hope that this sets a precedent here that others will follow, and they'll look and see, hey, you know, this is not working. Of course, it's happened so many times before. I don't think this one incident is really going to have any effect on future incidents, but it may. I mean it. It may a little bit, but I don't think it's going to be too noticeable until people start
more of this stuff starts happening. There was I think I told you guys here, it's been quite a few years ago in Albuquerque where the cops come in to a wrong house and a guy lit him up. He had an SKS and he shot, I don't know how many, several. And he didn't get in trouble. They said wrong house and the guy was protecting his property, didn't know what was going on. And that was the end of that. There was no problem.
That was probably
20 some years ago. He said, here's all the confidential informant led investigators to the address at which they were serving the search warrant, but the chief said he was not satisfied with the amount of information investigators used to obtain the search warrant and with the efforts to verify information from the informant. Here's the thing that did not happen. No one suggested that everyone wait until all the facts were in. That did not happen. No one blamed the media for rushing ahead with a narrative that the police department didn't find flattering. No one refused to comment until an investigation was completed. No one disparaged the victim of the raid by feeding his criminal record to local media. No one suggested, these are things that did not happen. No one suggested the resident be more compliant in the future. No one defended the officer's actions as reasonable. No one filed charges against the resident for shooting and wounding police officers. So I think this was, I don't want to see cops get shot any more than anybody else. However,
when they're wrong, they're wrong. It's something that, whether we want to see it or not, it should be expected, and it should also be okay. No, we don't want them shot. We do want them doing things right and not coming into our home if they don't have all the information that they
should have and make sure that they have the right house. And I think that should be a no-brainer. It shouldn't even be worth discussing. That should be obvious. Let's see here. Run back over here to the chat room and see what's going on. There is a, let's see, you guys are talking about a storm there. Let me see here. I think we're supposed to get some. Mountain Shooter, you asked who Ann Kirkpatrick was? She is a Democrat, anti-gun, anti-NRA all the way. She is, I don't know why I must have, if you're in Tucson, you must have heard something on the news down there or something, but Ann Kirkpatrick is no good. She's not for us. She's not for Arizona by any stretch. Well, it's changed here. We were supposed to get snow starting 11 o'clock or midnight or something. Looks like that's all gone away. Light breeze, partly cloudy. And that goes in through tomorrow. And sunny the next day. Yeah, it looks like it's just completely gone away from us now. Nothing Thursday. Of course, it can change. It's changed literally overnight, of course. Friday, 2 o'clock in the morning, 30% chance of rain. So that's it. We're drying up here a little bit. That's good because we got things to do, places to go, and people to see. And it's hard to do when it's muddy. Okay. Let's see. Let me. All right. That's everything in there. Here is another story, separate from the one that I said a while ago. The guy's name that we talked about earlier. The legislator that his wife got a threatening letter. I can tell you his name was Senator Cory Gardner, Republican senator who voted yes. And they have received a lot of, there's been several people out there that have performed what they're calling doxing. And I'm not sure I understand
don't understand all I know about it exactly, but they're giving out people's names, addresses, the names of their children, phone numbers, so that they can harass these people. They could potentially harm them with all the information that they're putting out there. So I go back to what I said a while ago. If there's enough of this going on, how many of these legislators are going to stand and say, well, you know, we'll hire more security, we'll start carrying a gun, we'll do whatever, but we are voting the way that our conscience says. Well, I'm afraid we're going to lose some of them. And the problem is that we cannot, under any circumstances, lower ourselves to do what they're doing. We can't threaten them to vote yes. We can, however, find some of these people that are terrorizing these legislators, and we have the means to convince them to stop. I promise we have that capability. And that is the only option that we have. We have two options. The other one is to sit back, pray, and hope for the best. And so far, for the last 100 years or so, that hasn't really worked too well. At some point, a certain group or faction of people are subject to take matters into their own hands and get the ball rolling here. And when that happens, it's going to be a sad day, I'm afraid. Okay, there was, and as I said, there was another one here. A man threatened to kill members of Congress over Kavanaugh votes. This was in in Polk County. I think we talked about this last week anyway. Anyway, one last thing before I get out of here. You remember a few months ago we talked about it actually happened the night of the show, and it was brand new information as we discussed it. And that was the shooting that happened in the Walmart up in, I believe it was in Washington. Yeah, Tumwater, Washington. And this guy had taken his girlfriend's gun, took a car, got stopped, went and tried to hijack other cars, went into Walmart, shot the glass out of the where the ammo was, grabbed a box of ammo, reloaded his gun on the counter, pointed his gun at numerous customers while he was going outside, went out in the parking lot with the intentions of hijacking another car. I don't know what in the hell was the matter with this guy. But two concealed carry holders followed him outside and got into a fight with him, and they killed him. But one of the guys, the guy that killed him actually, it was left paralyzed from the neck down. That is the price you may expect to pay if you get involved in something like this. That is why I push all of us in the training industry. That's why we push so desperately for training. Again, and I don't know how many thousands of times I've said this, but just because you know how to shoot doesn't mean you're trained. Just because you've been hunting your whole life, just because you performed, you were, this, that, and the other thing, doesn't mean you were trained for this. I wasn't there. I don't know what happened. I don't know how well the bad guy was trained. But if I were to make if I was to speculate here a little bit, I don't know how crowded the Walmart was. I don't know why they followed him outside. If there was, I find it hard to believe that there was not some point inside where that may have been, he could have been neutralized in there. I don't know. There may have just been way too many people to risk it. I would speculate possibly that he may not have taken
effective use of cover and concealment once they got outside, and proper movement if cover and concealment was not available. It breaks my heart that this guy has to go the rest of his life not even being able to scratch his nose, being paralyzed from the neck down. That is a horrible thing to think about. All for doing the right thing. He went out to stop the shooter who had injured people and was going crazy, and this is what he got. This was his reward, is being paralyzed from the neck down for the rest of his life. So that's right, Doc. That's absolutely, it's a good point. Good hunters may be good snipers. You may be able, they're good shots. You may be able to put them on a roof somewhere, or put them, you know, behind sandbags in a second story apartment or something, and be able to utilize them that way. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they're good in close quarters or, you know, just in the fight itself. And most of those are in close quarters, but not all of them. But I feel that there's just way, way, way too many people that have concealed carry permits that fit right in that group there, that feel like they had their token 30-minute safety class, and now they're gunfighters. And if AZ Balland was with us tonight, he is one of those that is so taken with this training deal and getting his family trained. He's unique, and he's not the only one that, by any means, that we've had like him. But it's definitely a minority. There's a whole lot less of people like him than there are the others. All right. Well, I've had about all the fun I can stand, so I'm going to have to start easing towards the door here in a second. There's still more stuff. I got off on a couple of tangents here and didn't get everything talked about that I wanted to, but we thinned it out a little bit. I saw another picture today, and I don't know if it's Photoshopped or not. Couldn't tell for sure. Saw another picture of the Supreme Court justices after Kavanaugh got in with his robe on and everything. And there was Ginsburg sitting right beside him, asleep again. And like I said, I don't know if that's true or not, but it certainly could be. Seems like that's just about every picture we catch of her nowadays. She's in that position. So there are some things about Kavanaugh we're going to talk about Wednesday. Some Fourth Amendment issues and some other things that he's been involved in that may not be exactly according to Hoyle. But as I've read some of the opinions and stuff from his involvement in this, I can also say that some of this may be a little bit overblown. I'm not 100% convinced that it's quite as bad as some of them make it out to be. May or may not be. So I also believe, just like I believe with Trump or with a number of other people out there, I do believe that people can change. I think that just because they may have made a mistake, maybe didn't fully understand, he'll have his opportunity to prove it to us. He talks a good line. He talks a real good line. I've got a couple of other things I want to play for you Wednesday night. But just because he did something 20-some-odd years ago doesn't necessarily mean that he has the same opinion now. Did he do it? Was he wrong? Probably. But we'll talk about that more Wednesday. I'm going to scoot on out of here now and want you guys to have a good
good couple of days here, and we'll be back Wednesday night with some more fresh, good or better stuff, and I'll see you then.
Well, that wraps up another edition of The Shooting Bench. Join me Monday and Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, and again on Fridays from 7 to 10 for The Shooting Bench. Good night, and thanks for joining me. No reconciliation. No, let's talk it over. Number I can call. Goodbye, says it.